Our Old Testament lesson for this morning comes to us from the book of 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. I will be reading this morning verses 1 through 19, though our lectionary only suggests verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 19. Listen to God's word. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baalah Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there, because he reached out and touched the Ark of God. And he died there, beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah. So that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the Ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. And so it was told to King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And again David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all of the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings for the well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then he distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of the house of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all of the people went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word and for the opportunity to worship you. We pray that as we gather today, you will open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to you, to your presence in our midst, that through the reading of the hearing of this word, we might draw closer to you. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation on our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. times have you said to yourself, boy, I sure do want what he's got? Be honest. You don't need to show hands. But haven't you ever looked at the life of a friend or a stranger and thought to yourself, I sure could use some of that. Whether it's a lottery jackpot, a hard-earned degree, or simply more time on your hands. We have all found ourselves at one time or another wishing that we could take a few steps in another's shoes, just for a few moments, or a long while. We have found ourselves wishing that we could have just a little bit of the blessing of another, that if we got close enough, some of their blessing, some of their joy, some of their prosperity or good health or love or fortune would rub off on us. And so the verses that were chosen by our lectionary for today describes an awesome and awe-filled experience of worship, with David leading the procession as the Israelites bring the ark back into Jerusalem. The verses that are assigned for us today describe a worship experience that most of us strive for. Utterly moved by the presence of God in his midst, and utterly thrilled by the prospect of bringing the ark of God into Jerusalem, David dances. David worships God with abandon. With all that he is and all that he has, he worships God with song and trumpet, with dancing and praise. David dances before God with all his might, celebrating God's goodness with thank offerings, with songs, and then with more dancing. And when we read these verses for today, we might find ourselves wanting a little bit of what David has. We want to be moved so thoroughly by God's presence in our midst that we can't help but dance. We want to be so filled with an awareness of God's blessing and of God's presence with us that we cannot contain ourselves. And that we come before God offering all that we are and all that we have in praise and thanksgiving. Now, many of us have tasted of this, haven't we? We have enjoyed the proverbial mountaintop experience on a retreat weekend or on an occasion in our lives when we have been struck by awe at God's blessing. The birth of a newborn. Time of healing, an opportunity of unexpected and merciful forgiveness. We have had experiences of awe when we can do nothing but praise God for God's many blessings. But for many of us, this is just a taste of what we want. A taste of what we hope for, but a taste of what we don't always seem to have. The lectionary for today does us a disservice, for it edits the text for us. It presents us with a reading of a continuous parade of praise, of David leading the Israelites and the ark into Jerusalem, dancing, rejoicing in the midst of 30,000. In the text that the lectionary has selected for us today, we receive a picture of a sustained time of worship, of excitement that cannot end and never dies. The portrait that we receive of the Ark's homecoming is a portrait of a continuous journey of dancing and praise. But the truth is, as we heard in the whole of our text today, David did stop dancing. As we heard in verses 6 through 12, David experiences tragedy, loss, and is overcome with a sense of anger and grief that he is compelled to not only stop dancing, but he is compelled to send the ark into hiding in the home of a Philistine. David's colleague and friend Uzzah reaches out to steady the ark when it experiences some turbulence on the journey. As the ark pulling the cart loses his step, Uzzah extends his hand to keep the cart from falling, and immediately he dies. So tragedy in our passage hits very close to home for David. And he is overcome with anger at God for an expression of God's wrath. And he can't help but question, if this is what happens to someone who's trying to protect the ark, how could David ensure the safety of the rest of the 30,000 joining him in procession? How could he ensure his own safety or the safety of the rest of Israel? He can't help but ask, is this worth doing? Have I bitten off more than I can chew? Is this really what God wants? The lectionary writers for today try to leave out the hard stuff, don't they? They try to give us a lovely, tidy package of praise and thanksgiving. And quite frankly, I can't say that I blame them. The text that they edit raises questions about God that are not comfortable, nor are they easy to answer. We understand God to be the source of life and the source of redemption. And we are confounded when that understanding is confronted with a picture of a destructive or angry God. And even as I studied for this passage, the best explanation that I could find of God's actions in this text indicate that Uzzah's death was a natural consequence of his actions. The writer of this commentary explained that the Israelites were not transporting the ark according to divine command, that God had given guidelines that not only honored God, but ensured the safety of God. For the ark of God contained a power of God so strong that that power, if beheld, if touched, was dangerous to limited humans. Sort of like how looking at the sun can be blinding to our eyes. The ark had a measure of God's power, too much power for a human being to directly encounter. And in this text, the Israelites simply weren't following instructions. And so their lack of obedience actually compromised their own personal safety. Not out of a sense of legalism on God's part, but out of the risk that they took. The method that they were using for transporting the ark was a method employed by the Philistines when they had taken the ark of God. It was easier. It was less labor intensive. It took a shorter amount of time to get the ark into Jerusalem. So this is the best I could come up with. But even as I searched and studied for an explanation that melds my understanding of God with the text at hand, I realized that even in our search for answers and in our quest for understanding, many of us can identify with David, with a king who is confounded by these deeper questions when overwhelmed by grief, a grief that stops him cold in his tracks and in his fear. David, like many of us, is paralyzed by the wave of emotions he feels in the midst of an untimely loss. Tragedy strikes. David's plans are derailed, and his world is, quite frankly, turned upside down. We don't want that, but we have tasted that. So as David's celebration comes to a screeching halt, David himself must come to terms with the pastoral questions that are raised in just these kind of circumstances. If God is so good, then why does a good man die young? And if we are doing God's will, how could tragedy strike in the midst of our celebration? Is God really for us? if such pain could come so swiftly? David's joy is derailed by the complexity of loss and the weight of his grief. The procession stops. The dancing ends. And David hides the ark and goes off into a time of seclusion for 3 months as he wrestles with these questions. See, David's dancing stops, just like it does for us in times of struggle, in times of pain, in times of loss. We too find ourselves stopped in our tracks when tragedy and loss hit us. Grief weighs us down and slows us down as we mourn. And anger consumes us when the loss we face is nothing but unjust. Whether that loss is the loss of a job, the loss of a friendship, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a sense of economic stability or national security. And fear can bring our lives to a screeching halt when a plan in which we have placed our confidence fails. Sometimes it's not a worship experience that rocks our world, but a monumental experience of loss that shakes us at our foundation. And so just like David, things may interrupt our own dancing. But when the lectionary verses pick up again, we see that the dancing resumes, doesn't it? Although the dancing stopped for a while, David hits the streets once again, dancing and praising God once again with abandon. The procession is back in full swing and eventually reaches its destination. The ark is carried safely into Jerusalem. The people are blessed. The land is filled with joy. And so the question that is raised for us as we look at the entirety of this passage is, how does David pull it together again? Where does David find the strength to go on dancing after being slowed down and stopped by tragedy and fear? How does David once again remember and experience God's goodness after such a confusing and sorrowful experience? The text tells us that the trigger for David is the reminder that God is a God of blessing. In spite of tragedy which is real, God continues to bless. And God even continues to bless the unlikely, Obed-Edom and his household, who aren't even Israelites. See, David sees that abundance and grace impact the lives of those in contact with the ark, while the procession remains on hiatus. David hears reports of God's blessing in the life and household of Obed-Edom. And David, quite frankly, David wants some of that. The recognition that God is a God of blessing gives David courage. And David begins to realize that even in the face of tragedy, God still blesses God's people. The tragedy doesn't stop the flow of blessing that streams from God through countless other channels. God's blessings pour forth. And so David resumes the dance. David remembers that a God of blessing is a God who is worthy of praise. But as David resumes his dancing, we see that he approaches the procession and approaches God a little bit differently. Aware of the power and might of God, David approaches the ark in a state of awe. David is not clothed in kingly garments that emphasize his own worldly power, but this time he wears a priestly garment, calling attention to God's power. And the second procession is less about that rush felt by the participants of the parade. It's not about getting a worship fix for the week or reveling in an experience of personal spiritual ecstasy. Rather, this procession places God at the center of activity. David approaches this procession more tenderly, continually stopping and offering thanksgiving to God. David makes sacrifices along the way, stopping the procession to present God with praise. Friends, we might find ourselves with a desire to relate to the joy of David's dancing. But most of us in our own life experiences find it easier to relate to the confusion that stops his procession for a little while. And so David's questions become our questions. How can we get back on track? How can we find it within ourselves to praise God when tragedy strikes? How can we find it within ourselves to identify joy and blessing when we are also confronted with the reality of loss? How can we see and experience the richness of the blessings God has to offer and find that heart to worship God with humble thanksgiving? David's example encourages us to turn to God. Through a closer look at who God is in God's fullness, we might find a hope on which to stand. For as David saw himself, we might see that in small and mighty ways, we have been blessed, and that God is somehow able to continue to bless us even in the midst of tragedy, that God's redemptive power can enter into the brokenness of our lives and the depth of our loss and bring transformation, offer healing, and a source of hope. We see in David that God won't just let us stay in fear or isolation. God won't abandon us to our grief. God will continue to remind us that there are still blessings. There are still reasons to hope. And you see, we have hope as Christians in the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That even when tragedy strikes and that even when death or loss or pain are prevalent, we have hope in the promise of the resurrection of a living God who overcomes sin with forgiveness and overcomes death with a promise of new life, a new life to which we are called and a new life to which all of creation will be enfolded. So even when the questions get tough, and they do, even when our lives get tough, as they do, may we have eyes open to blessings, both small and large, because God promises to continue to bless. And may we be so open to God's blessings that we will be open to the transforming, redemptive love and power offered to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we find some hope. May we find some courage. May we find the strength to trust God again. And maybe even to join David in dancing. Amen.
Let us pray. Oh dear God, we thank you for the eternal, living, saving word that in Jesus Christ you have spoken and continue to speak to us human beings. Do not allow us to hear it only in a cursory fashion or to be too lazy to obey it. Do not let us fall, but remain near each one of us with your comfort and between each of us and our fellow human beings with your peace. Let dawn continue to break a little in our hearts, in this church, at home with those who are dear to us, in this city, in our nation, and throughout the whole earth. You know the errors and the misdeeds that make our current situation once again so dark and dangerous on all sides. Let a fresh wind blow through our world that might at least scatter the thickest fog from the heads of those who rule, but also from the heads of the peoples who permit themselves to be ruled, and above all from the heads of those who make public opinion. And have mercy on all of those who are sick in body and in spirit, and the many for whom life is suffering, for those who are lost and confused through their own or others' fault, those who have no human friends or helpers. Show our youth also what true freedom and genuine joy are. And do not leave the old and the dying without the hope of the resurrection and eternal life. You are the first one concerned about our sorrows and tragedies. You are the only one who can turn them to good. That is why we can and want only to lift our eyes to you. Our help comes from you, who made heaven and earth. And as Jesus taught us, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We offer our gifts in response to God's love and the grace of Jesus Christ, which we seek to make known through the ministry of this congregation. So let's give freely and joyfully and thankfully.